Amen. What a great song, and a great way to hear that song. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm chapter 19. If you're using one of the pew Bibles, the blue ones there, it's page 536. It's an easy way to find it, 536. Psalm number 19. And as we begin 2011, this is the place in God's Word that I felt led to turn. And so let's stand together as we read throughout. We're going to read the entire psalm. Beginning in verse 1, the psalmist writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day they pour out speech, and night after night they communicate knowledge. There is no speech, there are no words, where their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the inhabited world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a groom coming from the bridal chamber. It rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of the heavens and circles to the other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making glad the heart. The commandment of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They're more desirable than gold, than abundance of pure gold. They're sweeter than honey dripping from the comb. In addition, your servant is warned by them. There's a great reward in keeping them. Who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins and do not let them rule over me. Then I will be innocent and cleansed from blatant rebellion. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Father, you are our rock and you are our redeemer, and I pray that you will do a work in our hearts through your Spirit as we look and as we study the words of this psalm. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Before we get into the sermon this morning, I'm going to take a quick poll of those of you who are in the room this morning. Raise your hand if you are a member or you have a Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, raise your hand. I'm just curious. All right. Okay. About half of us, actually, are on Facebook. Well, I didn't see this on Facebook. I saw it on ABC's Nightly News. But Facebook took a poll of the five top resolutions of 2011, and they're probably the exact same ones that were in 2010 and 2009 and so on. But the top five resolutions on Facebook this year were: number one, to get fit. Get fit, number one. Number two was to learn something new, maybe learn a new language or learn something new. Number three was to rock out, which they had to put in parentheses there, means to have fun. Just means, I guess, to enjoy your life. Number three, they're resolving to enjoy their life. Number four, the fourth one was to get organized. A lot of disorganized people, so their resolution this year is to get organized. And number five was to spend more time with their loved ones. Now, if we all had our list of what we resolved to do or what we're hoping to kind of change or tweak or prioritize in 2011, some of us would probably have some of the same things that are on this list. I think you could say that these are all good things if handled rightly. They're good things. But what I want us to do this morning is to think about the fact that a list like this, whether it's your list or whether it's on Facebook or wherever it is, reveals the values that we have. What's behind this list is a kind of an inside look into what we care about, into what we think is important, to what we think we should go after or we should define our lives by. Almost all the resolutions, they really aren't like coming up with something new. This year I'm going to do this. Most of them are returning to something old, or to refocusing on something we already know, or to recommitting something that we think is already important. So as the sermon is titled this morning, what I want us to do is to recommit, and there it says, to God's testimony, or to what God tells us about himself. What we're going to do for the next couple weeks is, for 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to look at what it means to recommit our lives to God in these different areas of our life. And this week what we're going to do is recommit to the testimony of God about himself. And I think Psalm 19 is the perfect place for us to begin doing that this year. Many of you probably are familiar with the television show that it's, I don't know the name of it, I don't know the guy's name, you may know it or watch it regularly, but I've seen it every once in a while, and it's a guy who has a hidden camera, and what he does is he creates this scenario that's going to cause people to react a certain way, and as, then later on he kind of pops out and says, hey, you've been on the camera, and we've been watching, why did you act the way that you acted? Well, a couple weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I happened to have it on the television on, and I looked up, and here's this guy popping out and saying, why did you do what you just did? And I didn't know the scenario, but the scenario was that they had this baby that was inside of this car, strapped into the car seat, and the mother got out of the car, locked the doors, pressed the little button, grabbed her purse, and she went into the store to go shopping, right? And you see these people who are passing by, and some of them are looking and stopping, and then some of them just post up outside the car waiting for this mom to come back out, or whoever it is in the car, to come back outside and give her or him, whoever it might be, a piece of their mind and what they think about, you know, what this is. So the first, this lady and this man stop, they're different, and they're going to give it to the lady who went inside. So she comes back out, and they just start laying into her, and she says, I looked, I find, you know, she's fine, the door's locked, she's not going to go anywhere, she's just going to be inside a minute. And then she takes her purse, and she walks to the other side of the street, and she goes into another store without checking on her baby at all. Well, you can imagine how how inflamed or furious that the people who were there were going to be, because not only did she not respond to them, but now she's doing the same thing again. But the whole thing's being videotaped, and it's not even a real baby inside, it's just this really, you know, it looks to be a baby inside, but you can't tell the difference from where you stand. But the reason that those people were so mad, the reason that they were gasping at the scenario that was going on was because they didn't know the whole context, right? That is a very familiar thing. That actually happens sometimes. People reported, babies have died. There's been tragedy that's happened as a result of a scenario like that. But the reason that those people in that context were responding the way they were is because they didn't see the whole story. And this morning, as we look at Psalm chapter 19, if we're not careful, we're going to do the very same thing. And what I mean by that is, in our hearts or in our lives, when the rules or the instructions or the commands or the regulations or the precepts of God come to us, we're going to gasp at them. And we're going to kind of be inflamed, or we're going to kind of be mad, or we're going to not quite understand why that they are there, why God is telling us to live a certain way. He's telling us to choose one thing over another thing, different than we would like to, different than our hearts or our wills or our desires would like us to. And specifically those outside of the church, when they're told, you must live this certain way, they get angry. You can't tell me who I can be with or who I can't be with. You can't tell me how I'm supposed to live my life, what I'm supposed to do with my finances or how I should spend them or not. And the reason that that is the case is because they don't have the context of the scriptures. It's possible to have the rules without having the relationship with God. And what I want us to do before we get going, before we look at these instructions and testimonies and precepts and ordinances and laws of God, I want us to remind ourselves of the relationship that is the context for all of what we're doing. God gives us these imperatives, but bigger than the imperatives are the indicatives. Now, if you're like me, you've forgotten what both of those words mean since your seventh grade grammar class. So the imperatives are the command statements, you must do this or that, and the indicative statements are the ones that are describing who you are. So in other words, you are a child of God. God is your Father. That's describing the context of those who have a relationship with God. And because He is our Father, then we can understand His rules, we can understand His instructions, His ordinances as giving us life, as being good for us, as thinking of our best, not just as limiting our freedom, not just as defining things that we have to do because He says that we do. It's possible to have the rules of God without the relationship with God. So let's look at, in here in Psalm chapter 19, let's look at these rules. Well, beginning in verse 1 through 6, we can't spend a lot of time here. But these are the bigger context. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth is speaking about God. Constantly, the stars are communicating with all of the world that there is this being who created the world, and he is good, and he is powerful. That's what Psalm 1 through 6 is saying. But then it goes further to say, that's really not enough. We can't just know God by looking at the stars. We must have his... Thank you. paused. It will give life in most being. Well, not only will it, the instruction of the Lord do that, but the testimony of the another word for testimony is another way to understand that is God's story. Think about a court of law that brings someone in who is a testimony, someone who has seen what has happened, they're a witness to it. God is witnessing to us what he has happened. And that witness or that testimony. How to do this or how not to do this, to buy this or not. In addition to this, the next thing there in verse 8, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right. God has allowed us to